everybody, and welcome on to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast. Peter Finnan here. This week's guest needs little introduction. It's been a busy couple of months at the end of the season for most players, but this guy especially. He's just off the back of a second Walker Cup appearance, which was a successful Walker Cup win for Team GB and I. He transitioned into the pro game, made his pro debut the week after that event at the K Club at the Horizon Irish Open. It's Kilkenny's Mark Power. Ronan McNamara took a little bit of time out of Mark's schedule, sat down with him last week and had a good chat about his transition into the pro game, what he's looking forward to in the future, and I suppose everything around his career to date and what Mark is looking forward to most in his transition into the pro ranks. So hope you enjoyed the listen, and over to you, Ronan.
Delighted to be joined on this edition of the Irish Golf Podcast by new DP World Tour professional, Mark Power. Mark, how are you getting on?
Hi, Ronan. Thanks for having me on. All good. Yeah, good form.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You're enjoying your first few weeks as a professional anyways. Just over a month since you made the leap into the professional ranks. And how have you found it so far?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously got off to a great start in the K Club. I suppose it was the ideal scenario for me to get that as my first professional start. And I had so much great support all week. So it set me up nicely, and I had a decent week there last week at the Dunhill Links. It was great to get back to St. Andrews after so many special memories been made kind of over the last month there. So, yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, the Dunhill was a bit of a strange one. The weather completely washed the place out of it. Like, you must have been almost 2 days without hitting the golf ball from your second round to your third, and what was the final round?
Yeah, I've never seen rain as persistent in my life. Like, I've seen some bad stuff and in the past, but it was really bad now for a couple of days. There was no let up at all, so it was actually amazing how they managed to get the last round played on the Monday. They actually opened up St. Andrews Sunday afternoon for some practice, so it was nice to be able to hit a few balls there just to try and kind of see if the swing was still there or how we were feeling. Because I suppose from Friday, you know, afternoon for me until Monday, I hadn't played a competitive, I suppose, round with Saturday, Sunday being wiped out. So it was definitely weird, but I'm delighted we got it finished. Got the third round in at King's Barnes and had a good round myself. So it gave me a little boost. I think I finished 44th in the end. So just look, another cup made, I guess you could say.
Yeah, exactly. Can't take it away from you. It was obviously what's been really nice to go back to St. Andrews so soon after the Walker Cup. Like, it was such a wonderful place for you personally to bow out in your amateur career, and like, you did it in style, to be fair. So to go back so soon as a professional, you're almost coming full circle really quickly.
Yeah, it was very weird emotions when I first kind of stepped up back in St. Andrews. Like, I had the last time I'd been there, I suppose it was, I just finished my last amateur event in the Walker Cup, like such a big event, and there was so many emotions. Like, I was happy with my performance, but we came so close to beating that US side. It would have really been a big one for us. So there was a lot of raw emotions that were still kind of that I didn't really have a whole lot of time to process, to be honest. The last month and a half has been it's gone very quickly. I haven't had a whole lot of time to kind of reflect and really kind of soak in how lucky I was to have those couple of weeks. But definitely over the last while, anyway, the last week anyway, I've got to really just look back on some great memories.
Yeah, exactly. And at St. Andrews there last week, I saw during the rain, Bick, you're skipping chips through puddles into holes there. So is that kind of the...
Yeah, just trying to stay entertained.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, because you're there probably most likely on your own, and you're after having maybe a day and a half off. Like, what do you do to kind of keep yourself ticking over, keep yourself entertained? Like you said, obviously St. Andrews open for practice on the Sunday, but I can imagine it can be a lonely and a boring place at times, I'd say.
Yeah, well, actually my mum came over with me for the week, which was nice. She hasn't got to see me play a whole lot in the last while because I've been in college in America. So once I realized I got into the event, we just tried to book an Airbnb last second, and we actually got one right in the middle of St. Andrews, which is very lucky because it's quite hard to get somewhere that close to it. But we We had a lovely house, and it was nice. I suppose there was a lot of sport on the TV the weekend, so I was kind of just glued to the telly all weekend. I had the putter inside on the carpet, and I was just trying to just keep things going. I suppose there's not a whole lot you can do. Luckily, there's a few nice coffee shops in St Andrews as well, so kept me going. But look, it's the same for everyone. Just trying to keep my head focused was the main thing for me, really.
Yeah, exactly. And you obviously made a great start to your pro career at the Irish Open last month. I was chatting to you there for a few days. Like, just overall on that week, looking back, it was a really, really good performance. Your first week out as a pro, and you had some great moments as well. You'd obviously had your good finish, and you chipped in an 18, I think, on the first day, was it, or the second day it might have been. But
Yeah,
that was
first
really
day and
good
last hole, yeah.
to kind of kickstart
Yeah,
your.
that was a great memory, because I was 2 under coming onto the last, and I played pretty nice all day and felt a little agitated that I wasn't, I felt like I could have easily been 3 or 4 under, but look, that's golf. I mean, you're not gonna get the what you always deserve. But to chip in on the last there was great. Like, I had a pretty long wait on my second shot to the on 18, like, and it's not really the shot you want to be. You're waiting on for too long with a 2 iron in your hand, like over water, and we obviously know the trouble around that green. But actually had a lovely 2 iron in there. I just came in a little too hot out the back, but a very quick chip back down. But luckily, just came out perfect.
Yeah, and what do you take personally yourself from a week like that and how you played? And you finished really well. You look the part, like, in fairness.
Yeah, no, thanks. No, I really did feel comfortable. I took a lot from it, like, just I suppose how comfortable I felt in the, I suppose, in the environment. And obviously that was even a bigger one, given it being the Irish Open and my first pro event. So there was obviously stakes were pretty high, but I felt like I managed myself very well. I didn't let myself get too sort of excited or nervous or anything, and just tried to approach it like. It was just a regular event, and found my game pretty nicely. And I mean, I ended up playing with the winner. Like, I ended up playing with Vincent Norman. Like, I honestly thought I had a chance of winning it going into the last round. I mean, if I had just held 200 feet of putts like he did the last round, I would have had a chance. But it was cool. Like, first professional event to have a front row seat to watching a guy win was a good experience, and obviously try and learn from these guys as well.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't have been in a better place to have a perfect learning experience of how to get over the line on the DP
Yeah.
World Tour. Like, and yourself as well, there was one line from one of your post round quotes that really struck me, just how comfortable you felt at tour level and how you actually get it. It's like you said, oh, I'm
Yeah.
losing money here. So at one stage, like, shows, doesn't the difference from amateur to tour
Yeah,
level, but instantly every shot matters, like every shot is part of your job now.
and to be fair, like, it's that's not really something that I would have been. It's, and I've been told a lot, you can't be thinking like that out on the golf course. You got to just focus and let everything look after itself. I kind of was standing on one of the greens, and I was kind of just joking myself, like, Jesus, like, everything has a bigger consequence now. So, but I'll not let myself start thinking like that consistently, because it's tricky enough as it is. But look, it's obviously stakes are a lot different now. But to be honest, it didn't feel like. Once I got into the heat of battle, like you got into the middle of the tournament, the juices were flowing. It didn't feel like anything much different, and I feel like I've been pretty prepared for professional life. I've been lucky enough to have a couple invites in the past into Irish Opens and a couple of Challenge Tour events, so I kind of know what to expect and know what they're all about.
Yeah, and you had Dermot Byrne on the bag at the Irish Open. You've obviously caddied for you before. So to have him there that week, that was obviously a huge help as well. Someone so experienced like him.
Yeah, he actually caddied for me my very first pro event up in Gallaghorne Castle, I think in like 2017. And I made the cut there. And again, like, I don't know how I made the cut. Like, I think I've birdied like 3 of the last 4, and I was convinced that I was going to be out. Like, I wasn't playing great. But even just, I mean, I can still remember the presence Dermot had. Like, he just kept me, focused on the task, and he really simplified, like, one shot at a time. And to get him back on the bag at this Irish Open was great. Like, he's obviously working for Leona Maguire now, but he had an off week, and he was great. He really is a great caddy, and I get on very well with him, which is another thing. Like, we have the crack in between walking the holes, and He's a really easygoing person, so yeah, he definitely did, I suppose, played a role in me having a good week at the K Club.
Yeah, maybe if he's a couple more off weeks in the future, you might give him another call. Like, just on that point, would you be looking for a full-time caddy? And if you were, would someone like Dermot and what he brought that week be something that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it'll obviously depend on how Q school and stuff goes for me, and kind of what kind of what my season will look like next year. But you know, hopefully I'll get the big one, like make it onto the main tour, and we'll have to go from there. But there's a bunch of caddies out there full time who are very experienced. Like, I had a guy caddying for me last week in St Andrews, Damien Moore, who's caddied in Ryder Cups. He caddied for Stephen Gallagher in the Ryder Cup, and he's caddied in numerous council majors. So even like having him on the bag again, just it's all going to stand for me. But look, we'll see how the next couple months go for me, and see what happens from there.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, you're only embarking on your professional career. Like, it's interesting that you're turning pro and you got some of your good mates there on tour with John Murphy, Alex Fitz, John Goff, who obviously you played Walker Cup with. And does it kind of help you that you're turning pro sort of the same stage as those guys? Because they're at a similar stage as you are. Like, they're both kind of in their first stage as a professional golf. Like, it's nice to have friends out there when you go to a tournament and see the familiar faces.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Like, yeah, and I even got a good lift from seeing John and Alex start off the pro career so strongly. Like, I competed alongside those guys and was on teams with them, like, all over the last number of years. So to see them break on the scene and do so well is very encouraging. And then also the fact that I'm out there now, it's nice to, meet up again and play some practice rounds. And but at the end of the day, it's a lot more. The stakes are different nowadays. There's a lot more. It's more business end. So I suppose there's not a whole lot of friendliness, I suppose, on tour. Like, so it's nice to have some of those guys to get that, even starting out. Because, to be honest, I didn't really my first couple of events, I didn't really know what I was at. But look, I'll learn slowly but surely, hopefully.
Yeah, does it feel like you're walking into a sort of a new school for the first time again?
Kind of, yeah. You're trying to make friends, and you're trying to scope out what's going on, and where should I sit, or who, just like it's definitely different. But yeah, look, there's been a good few lads who have been willing to try and give me a couple of bits, a piece of advice, like just what to do, kind of things to avoid, things to try not to do too much of. So look, I'll take everything in my stride.
Have you leaned on any of the sort of experienced Irish pros for advice so far, or have you just kind of stayed away from all that?
I'd say Harrington is definitely one person I suppose lean on. I played a practice round with him last week in St Andrews, and I suppose I didn't really need to be playing St Andrews. I played the golf course so much recently, but I just wanted to play because Harrington was going out, and I just wanted to pick his brain. And he's very willing to support the young lads coming through. He's just so much knowledge, and I suppose when Harrington speaks, you tend to listen. So he's been a great support, and he's definitely given me a couple little bits and pieces here that I suppose I feel like I knew. It's kind of like you hear people talking about when it comes from someone like Harrington, you're like, all right, we need to try not to get caught up in trying to do anything crazy when you turn pro. If sometimes guys feel like they have to change a lot about their team and try and be a person that they're not. So that was definitely some of the stuff that he was giving me, along with other things, but keep them to myself, top secret.
In a little notebook at home. But like, you're probably right, because you've said before, like, you've come through the Golf Ireland elite system, you've been to Wake Forest, which is obviously one of the top colleges in America, so you are well prepared to make that next step.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the stakes are different, but you still have to go out and play. Like, I played a good bit with Ludwig Åberg in college in America, and we knew how good he was. Like, he was really burning up the college scene, and it's no surprise to see someone like him come through. But I suppose if you're competing in some of the big events in college, you have a decent chance to be ready to turn pro, and I suppose get out there and compete straight away. I actually feel like I didn't have the best, I suppose, results wise in my last year in college, but I knew my game was really close, and thankfully I've seen, a decent bit of that come to fruition already. So just trying to keep chipping away on it, and I feel like I'm learning more about myself, about what I do under pressure and big situations. So just trying to put all that in the memory bank and just hopefully use it when it matters most.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, there's loads of different things from being an amateur to turning pro. You obviously have a few off-course things to do with, management companies, sponsorship, like that all, that's all part of it. That's all part of the experience as well. So that's a nice little thing to, so I suppose, get used to as well.
Yeah, it's different, and there's a lot more things behind the scenes, I suppose. Like when you're in college, you kind of have everything on a plate for you as such. So there's other stuff you have to deal with. But look, I have a good team. JMC Sport are my management company, so they're doing a great job. If they're helping me out with stuff, so just trying to make it as easy as possible for me, and so I can just get out on the course and just try and play. That's the main thing, really.
Yeah, and you've the second stage of DP World Tour Q School coming up now next month. You're heading out to Portugal, as you said before we started recording this. Like, it's a big opportunity for you going out there because you did so well, the first stage, and you can go out there now. You're nice and refreshed after a few weeks as a professional. You can give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I suppose stage two, it's just about trying to keep ticking the boxes, keep rolling along and try and get to that final stage. But yeah, heading out to Portugal now to get a little bit of practice in. So hopefully the sun will be shining a bit more than at home at the minute. So look, it's important just for me to stay feel like I'm ready to stay fresh. Just to make sure I have a good idea of what my game's all about going into the week, because you can't get through stage three without getting stage two done. So just try and keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the goal, of course, is to earn that DP World Tour card. But like,
Yeah.
if that doesn't happen, do you kind of have an outlook of what, 2024 is going to look like for you playing wise?
To be honest, no. I've one main goal of getting through stage three and getting that European Tour card. So I haven't really thought too much about any other opportunities. I don't want to get too ahead of myself either. So I'm sure I'll have some challenge tour invites and stuff to chip away at next year, but hopefully I won't be needing them. But look, we'll see how it goes. It's obviously no easy feat to get through Q school. It's very tough. Many guys have been through and failed, but I'm looking forward to the challenge. And look, I'll learn stuff if. No matter what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And just a little bit of background. So for the last couple of weeks, you've been quite busy, with Mount Juliet signing that deal as their touring professional. You've also had great celebrations back at home with Kilkenny Golf Club. Like, a lot of people want to get to know you, and a lot of people are showing you some great support the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like Kilkenny haven't, I suppose Gary Murphy is the only other pro who's come out of Kilkenny, and in the last number of years there hasn't been much golf really kind of coming through. So the support I've received has been amazing. Suppose I joined Kilkenny Golf Club when I was eight. I've been practicing at Mount Juliet the last number of years, so to have the support of both those clubs behind me really does mean a lot, because it gives you a good boost when other people, like you're passing by people every day and everyone's asking how you're getting on, and they're really keen and to support you. So look, it feels great that I can actually have that kind of impact on people. And look, if I can share my success with other people, it's even better. So just try and keep plugging away, and hopefully other people get a good enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously loads of Kilkenny supporters out there at the Walker Cup as well, as you saw, you had family,
Yeah.
friends, even people who are just members of the golf club as well. Like, that was just to go back to your amateur career, and how you ended it. Like, you're obviously emotional there on the 18th green, but like, that was just a really special, special moment and a special week at the Walker Cup.
Yeah, as you said, all my family was there. My girlfriend was over. A good few of my close friends were over. Even the captain from the club, along with a good few other members, were there. And I suppose along with the big GB&I support, it was just a really electric week. And we really formed a close-knit bond, the team. It's kind of like watching that Ryder Cup and seeing how much everyone wanted to win it for each other. The GB&I team felt the exact same for the Walker Cup, and we led all the way Like I won three of my points, but I would have traded them for if we had come out on top, really. Like it would have just been a really good feeling, especially at the home of golf. Like it was so special to, coming up those last couple of holes, like 16, 17, 18, they're so iconic. And to be actually be able to, be competing in a match in the Walker Cup along those holes is you kind of have to pinch yourself at times. And to finish birdie birdie in my amateur career to win my my last singles match was definitely it was a little overwhelming when I kind of finished, when I realized kind of things were finished, and suppose I've had a good amateur career and great memories, so suppose no better way to cap it off at St Andrews.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty to be proud of as well. Like you said yourself, your season didn't quite go as you as it would have hoped, but you're a bit of a Walker Cup legend for GB and I as well. Like the stats prove you're top scorer again. Like so you must be proud of, I suppose, your individual accomplishments, even if they didn't lead to the silverware that you might have been hoping for this year.
Yeah, like looking back on it, like I suppose they're probably the two, obviously outside of some of the professional stuff I've played, they're the two biggest events I have competed in, and the best of my golf has kind of come out at stages in those two events, so it's very encouraging. And I suppose hopefully it's just a matter of when the stakes are higher, my game improves, so that would be helpful in my professional career. But yeah, as you said, I take a lot out of it, and yeah, just really wish we hadn't got that win at St Andrews, though.
Yeah, exactly. But like as everyone says, it is friends for life. And I was there, obviously, and that was my first Walker Cup experience. And you could really see the bond between everyone. So it generally is a friends for life kind of scenario. Like these are memories you look back on with people when you see them on tour, whether some go on to make it as pros or not. But you look back on these as special, special times.
Absolutely. And like we got over the Sunday before the event started, like so we had a lot of time. Like we obviously all the guys knew each other very well, but when you're spending that much time kind of leading up and preparing together, like we're all kind of going out as one. And I suppose when you're playing for yourself it's one thing, but when you're playing for, nine, 10 other guys, it really does mean a lot. And there's a lot of great players on both sides. Like even that US side is very strong. Like I'd be surprised if we don't see some, suppose, major champions in the future coming out of that Walker Cup. So it'll be fun to follow along, and look, it's a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, for me, Mark, you're obviously you're not you're a pro now. Like you're still kind of waiting to see what happens in the as regards next year with Q School and things like that and invites. When you do kind of sit back and take stock and hopefully take a rest as well, because it's been a long year for you.
Yeah.
Like you must be excited for what the future holds for you.
Yeah, no, I really am. Like, ever since I was probably like 10 years old, it's, well, probably before then, but, golf is what I've wanted to do, really. Like, I used to just watch the European Tour events every day. And to be out here now is pretty surreal. But, as you said, it's very exciting. It's been a big goal of mine to get here, but there's no point in just getting comfortable, and there's a lot more I want to achieve. So it's, yeah, it really is exciting, and I suppose to be able to do it for a living would be, just the dream for me. So we're kind of getting there now, but look, there's a long way to go, and yeah, really looking forward to the journey ahead, and hopefully can be another one of the Irish professionals out in tour. And we need the more the better, to be honest. Like there's been a lot of great amateurs coming through, but I suppose I feel like we haven't had as many professionals kind of kicking on in the last while, so I'd really love to be a part of that now.
Yes, absolutely. Not your normal 9 to 5. And Mark, we wish you the best luck with that.
Thanks
Thanks for joining me on the Irish Golfer podcast today.
again, Ron. Cheers.
Just after recording that podcast, Mark actually made it through to the final stage of the DP World Tour Q School, which takes place this weekend. So best of luck to Mark on his quest to secure that lucrative DP World Tour card so early in his career. We hope you enjoyed the listen. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you again soon.